You are here today, well, because we asked you, but also because you are kind of at the beginning of an exciting journey.
I am. A lot of things going up at the sheriff's office. As you know, we're trying to get this jail's thing straightened out now that we have the Silverdale Jail. We've got a transition process I hope we can bring to fruition within the next 4 or 5 years to close down the old jail and move out to the site where Silverdale is and not have to build such an expensive jail as we move forward. And along that same line, part of that will be trying to divert our mental health patients from our inmates from the jail. I've been working with a number of individuals, both in the realtor business and the hospital business, the psychiatric business, to try to divert more of these inmates, which may constitute as many as 40% of my inmates who are on psychotropic drugs and or mental health inmates.
Yeah, we'll get further into that in a minute. That's interesting. You mentioned realtors. I'm thinking halfway houses.
Similar to that, it'd be almost like a Motel 6 concept where you have counselors that are there to see that the folks keep the room clean, that they
get
their medication, keep the lights on, help them with counseling, if use their whatever funding may be available to them, whether it's Social Security or VA benefits or Medicare, Medicaid, those kind of things to help keep from that very expensive cost of being in my jail at about $82 to $85 a day.
We have had problems with the jail off and on, sometimes very bad, sometimes just bad. As long as I've been doing talk radio, overcrowding being the biggest issue.
That's correct.
And we've been under, I mean, state, you know, the axe has been hanging there, federal, any institution that looks after, you know, people's civil rights have come down here and slapped us on the wrist more than a couple of times.
They have. This jail, of course, was originally built to hold about 500. There were times there were over 900 there. Now we're hanging right at about the 460 or 70 since Silverdale became part of our jail program. So we no longer have a workhouse. We have the Silverdale Jail and the Jail Central, which is downtown. But the Jail Central downtown, the design went out of style a long time ago. It's very labor-intensive to have enough officers to work the floors up there with the amount of inmates you have. And, of course, you got to remember, Jeff, when that jail was built over 40 years ago, we didn't have this problem with classification the way we do today, where you've got to have so many kinds of classification,
sure,
whether it's based on drugs or gangs or sexual preference or juveniles or females and all the other things that have to be factored in. It's just a lot more difficult to run an institution like a jail.
Well, we have problems now that we didn't have then.
That's right.
There's always been addiction, but there's never, ever, even during the hazy, crazy days of the you know, what we like to call the 60s, which was really kind of 67 to 73. Everybody doing, you know, Quaaludes at the discos and stuff. Nothing like what we see right now with the opiate problem and the addiction rate.
Some dangerous stuff out
pandemic.
There.
Yeah. And regular people. Just regular people. The starting point I mentioned earlier, it's been in the newscast, Maine Times 24, great party, great thing, and a woman hit a pedestrian. She did not pass the sobriety test, but it wasn't because of alcohol. It was because of legally prescribed drugs, medication that she was taking.
Klonopin.
She told the officer that she was taking, but that's... For me, it's hard to imagine this because my tolerance is so high to such things because of my, you know, ne'er-do-well early days.
Sure.
I could take that. I can't imagine not being able to pass any sobriety test, but she clearly was impaired.
Those two things can blow your pilot light out. They really can.
And I think the key there is the word impaired. Impaired can mean a lot of things. So anytime you don't have absolute control of that 2,000-pound missile that you're driving, and they can show you're impaired in any way. It doesn't have to be about drugs. It doesn't have to be about alcohol. It simply is you're not able to control that killing machine you're operating.
You're eating two double-doubles, and then you go out of control. You're impaired.
Something, lack of sleep.
Yeah.
Cigarettes always get a pass. Somebody going through, withdrawals from nicotine, irritated
same
as hell.
Can happen.
There's going to be road rage. I guarantee you there's going to be aggression.
That's a whole different thing now. One of the judges has weighed into the drug court where he doesn't even tolerate you having
no more
nicotine
cigarettes
in your
yeah
system. That's right.
Isn't that something? So,
I guess the first couple of weeks in jail are a little jumpy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is not to be joked about. I mean, there have been a whole bunch of people die in jails in this country because they were going through withdrawals.
Sure.
And they were begging for help, but There were no tools to you know, the guards were provided with.
Yeah. You know, our jail has been a smoke-free facility for probably 30 years now, but there are people that still struggle with that, and there are a lot of jails that can afford to have clinics, full-time clinics. We do. Erlanger furnishes our clinic. So we can give good medical care while we're there to a certain point. But the point of it is I've got too many folks locked up in the jail there that really need mental health treatment and a facility equipped to do
that. Klonopin is one of those, as a matter of fact, that if you are taking it a couple of times a day, if you truly have anxiety problems, if you just do that cold turkey, it can kill you. I mean, you can die. So you got somebody in jail, you got people in there that are essentially on drugs when they are legal otherwise, when they are arrested, now they're off, now they're detoxing, can't make bond, can't make bail, and what are you supposed to do with them?
There you go. We're caught with officers who are not trained in that field. They're not trained in the medical field or the psychiatric field. We do not have a psychiatrist on board. We try to get as much as we can psychologists to come aboard. But these are things that it finally came to the point. I had to reach out to especially the medical community. As you know, this week I went before the commission and asked for some seed money, $25,000, to go along with what Memorial has pitched in. Now North Park has pitched in. Blue Cross has pitched in. The private sector. So we are moving towards some rather large federal money through this coalition to try to matching funds and some large grant funding to be able to probably replicate what they're doing over in Charlotte, which has really saved a couple million dollars a year.
I was going to ask you, is there a design and a layout and a protocol and
yes.
everything that goes along with it, the paradigm that you have in mind is set?
That's correct. Probably the one we want to emulate the most right now would be the one out of Charlotte. I personally went there and toured the facilities, looked at what they've done, looked at their track record over the last few years, visited with their sheriff and their jail, and I think it's a model we could replicate here in Hamilton County.
The timetable. What is the timetable that we're looking at right now, realistically, of getting from this day to opening a new jail?
Now that we have the seed money in place from all of these partners, if you will, we will bring the consultants in who will put together the program for the big dollars. I would like to see us implement some kind of program within 12 to 15 months. That may sound a little ambitious, but I think it's doable, at least a few phases, because we're already got some other things going on that would help in diversion. The drug court, the court the judges are working with. Erlanger can be a large component to this. I am working with Erlanger's leadership over there to bring them on board. So I think once we bring those on board, we've already, as I mentioned earlier, have the Realtors Association with me. They're looking for placement areas that we'll be able to do where we can guarantee the landowners that there will be people responsible for these folks who are under tight control in terms of the medicines. They're good folks. They got to get this thing under control, and we're going to help them do that, just like they've done in Charlotte.
I will say this, having spent quite a bit of time inside the Erlanger campus during the spring and summer and fall, hopefully none in the winter, I know they've been implementing a brand-new software system that goes through their entire system. And they got the construction of the Children's Hospital. A lot going on, but I know that they do have visionaries in charge over there. They see the hospital being more than just a hospital.
And, you know, this is a win-win for them because they're losing tons of money, all the hospitals, by just, as I mentioned to the commission, we had seven different what I call frequent flyers who over the last 5 years have used $500,000 and are no better than when they started, just in and out of the jail.
All right, we got the sheriff in here, Sheriff Jim Hammond, and Jack is on the line, has a question or a comment. Jack, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Sheriff, 2 points. One is the jail overcrowding, and the other is the fairness issue. On the fairness issue, if somebody is taking medication, already taking it, and one out of six Americans are, for some kind of mental illness, does that mean they get a ticket out of jail, and the people not taking medication go the jail path? It looks like you're setting up a dichotomy that, you know, if you're on meds, you kind of get, you know, easier treatment than if you're not.
Well,
I
think what you need to look here, these are people who are eligible for bond or for whatever reason may not be able to make it. And it can be, these are not violent felon cases. They're more about putting these folks into some kind of treatment pending their court hearings, just like you would a person who makes bond pending their court hearing. There are some folks that it may be not that big a bond, but they just have no money and they could languish for weeks in there costing the taxpayers a ton of money when it'd be better served to put them under kind of a house arrest is more what it's like.
This is only about the pre-bond issue, not the adjudication.
That's correct. This has nothing to do with the adjudication. Oh, okay. There are other programs at the adjudication stage.
Okay. Well, that's better than I thought.
Yeah.
The second one is if one of the end results is getting people out of jail, though, and if it's post adjudication, it's not just the clot of people awaiting trial. Seems to me you're going to have a lot more mentally ill people in the general public, which will present a problem. It might, you know, the cost might be reduced for the jail, but it's going to be vastly increased for every neighborhood there is out there.
That would be true if they're not under some kind of medication while they're out there. But I think it's a win-win for everybody in the long run.
Well, I mean, how many people said, "Look, I was drunk." Well, that's not an excuse, you know.
Yeah.
I was high, you know, I was doing ecstasy. Judge, you know, I mean, I was feeling really good. You know, that woman gave me the hug, you know. I wasn't thinking. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
There'll still be a separation of this person from the rest of society. Sheriff Jim Hammond in here with us. My name is Jeff Stiles, by the way. JR had to step away. Brad's filling in for him. And then we got the sheriff just for a few more minutes. If you have a question, you better call right now, 267-1023. And Jack was just saying, a little concerned about a double standard. If somebody is using drugs, somehow they get on a different track. Well, that would be real easy for an inmate to go,
I was really high.
Exactly.
No, we're very careful screening on who can fit into this program.
First of all, I applaud you. This is a tough one to tackle. The money has not been there. The money wasn't there this time.
Right.
But obviously the need got to be so pressing. Something had to happen. So you guys got creative. And you've cobbled together a coalition of folks.
Coalition of partners.
And it's all kinds of people from all over the community. And this is one where all egos should be laid aside and think,
absolutely,
you know, that we've got to have the very best jail that we can have, because there's a lot of people going to it. We have a lot of societal problems. And it is not just for punishment. There's some people that just had to be kept away from society, but there are some people who just screw up and they need help, and we're wasting their time and ours in guaranteeing a second trip, recidivism, if we don't help them.
Yes. You know, this is all about alternative treatment. And you know, I'm kind of the point of the spear, and I'm getting some accolades that I need to spread out to those that are part of the partners. When the hospitals come together and the realtors come together and the mental health association comes together, the judges, there's a lot of players here. Kudos to the commission for approving the $25,000. I think it's on the agenda for next week, but I think we're in good shape for their $25,000.
I'll put as much pressure on them as I can.
Okay. And they understand this concept. And so this is all about looking for, rather than me just seen as the jailer who locks people up and holds them to the court, I want to do better than that. I want to find alternative treatments so we can get folks healthy, get them well, get them out there. Take more of the burden off the taxpayers. It's right now funding this some $85,000 every 24 hours we're spending on incarceration.
Yeah, jail is not cheap. No way, shape, or form is it cheap. It is not something, I don't care what anybody says, I get so frustrated with people who think that that it's easy to go to jail, that we make it too easy on folks. And be more like, pick up some Joe Sixpack and some Podunk County, where they, you know, put them on a chain gang and whip them all day. And so, like, let's get back to that. And that's not what we need.
It's not the answer.
I promise you, the loss of your freedom is an incredible amount of punishment for anybody who is just a regular law-abiding citizen.
Just lock yourself in one of your rooms in your house, a smaller room, and just for about 24, 48 hours and see how you feel about
After 45 minutes, you're going nuts.
And then lock yourself in there with a couple of people who are big and angry.
Absolutely. Bubba in there.
You mentioned, I mean, the fact that you have to be mindful of separating gangs.
You do.
From different neighborhoods.
We do. We have to classify a lot.
And that's just, I mean, this is stuff that you didn't used to have to do.
We did not. And then when you put the low salary of the jailers and the ability to find people who want to do this kind of job, where you're locked up with 500, 600, 700 prisoners, you know, that's tough work.
Scary work. I can't even begin to understand what the psychology of somebody who would want this job. And I know a couple of people who've got it. And and the thin line between somebody who is empathetic and wants to help and somebody who's playing possibly psychotic themselves.
Well, you know, it used to be said there's just a small separation between the mind of a police officer and the mind of a criminal. And I certainly don't mean to be disparaging officers.
A
lot of times you're working around those kind of folks all day and you get tainted by that. Yeah.
Now, all right, just anything you'd like to say in closing?
I just think we got a good thing going here. I appreciate all of the support the public has shown on this so far. I think there's some hard questions. We got a lot of work to do, but I think we're heading in the right direction.